You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International. Next in line is Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
Ukraine and the world commemorated the Holodomor victims in Ukraine on the 25th of November. Radio Ukraine's Taras Chechko has the floor.
A unique meeting with people who survived the events of 1932-1933 took place in Kyiv at the National Museum Holodomor Victims Memorial. This educational and historical center collects and spreads the information about the terrible manufactured famine of 1932-1933. The Stalinist regime used it to break the resistance of Ukrainians, in particular the village population, against the aggressive domestic policy of the Soviet power, as ordered by Stalin and his company in 1932 and 1933, Ukrainians had to forcibly give all the grain harvest, leaving no stock for the next sowing season. Any food was taken away from people, even products that were already unsuitable for use. The villages left without food were often surrounded by military units so that no inhabitant could escape. The exact number of people killed by artificial famine is unknown because the USSR authorities classified such statistics, but according to Ukrainian historians and their foreign colleagues, up to 10 million people could die, and these are only those who died directly from starvation and not from illnesses which are related to malnutrition. Today, there are not many Ukrainians who survived the Holodomor, there are only dozens of them alive. Their memories are valuable to contemporaries, first of all, as evidence of criminal Soviet policy. Tamara Bedrenko, witness of the Holodomor, will tell her memories. I remember the Holodomor really well, because they took the forge and took everything to a collective farm. And my mother was in the field, and we were in the cold house. We heated the house with wheat straws and potato plants. The stove saved us from cold. We lay on it, being very hungry and very poor. We had no clothes and no shoes to wear, said Tamara Bedrenko. She survived the manufactured famine in a village in the Kyiv region. Then she was only 5 years old. Another witness, Zinovy Maslo, who was born in 1922, remembers that many of his fellow villagers died in
1933.
At the cemetery, which was 100 years old, the fifth part of it, as of today, is occupied only by those people who died during one summer of 1933. Lots of people died in May, June and July, said Zinovy Maslo. Another witness, Mykola Onishchenko, survived the Holodomor in the village of Roza near Berdyansk.
Ми були голодні, але я бачив тих людей, які були вже майже не живі. Вони були страшні. На них було страшно дивитися.
We were hungry, but I saw those people who were almost lifeless. They looked terrible. It was hard to look at them. It was depressing. It was scary. We collected the wheat spikes left on fields after the harvest. I collected the spikes. I remember how my mother mashed them, a handful of them. It was not even allowed to collect spikes. There were special observers who showed us out of the field, said Mykola Onishchenko. After the destruction of the silence wall around the Holodomor in the 1980s, hundreds of memories of people who survived the 1932-33 were recorded in Canada and the United States.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The situation in the temporarily occupied areas of Donbas has sharpened due to a conflict between the leaders of the so-called Luhansk People's Republic. It broke out on the 21st of November. Militant leader of the so-called Donetsk People's Republic, Oleksandr Zakharchenko, and Russia's FSB were also involved in the confrontation. After the conflict broke out, Russia directed additional military equipment to the territory of Ukraine. In particular, there were reports about a column of Russian tanks that illegally crossed the Ukrainian border in the Luhansk region. The OSCE mission reported on a military column in the Donetsk region, which was moving towards Luhansk. Later on, Dmytro Tymchuk, member of the Verkhovna Rada and coordinator of the Information Resistance Organization, said that a Russian private military company arrived in advance in order to stop the confrontation between the leaders of the self-proclaimed Luhansk People's Republic by a military aircraft from the Russian Alchevsk to Luhansk. Later, it was informed that Ihor Plotnitsky, leader of the self-proclaimed Luhansk People's Republic, fled to Russia. The Ukrainian armed forces are ready for any developments in eastern Ukraine in order to guarantee the security of the civilian population in occupied Luhansk. This was emphasized by Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko due to the aggravation of the situation in occupied Luhansk.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
The 21st of November marked the Day of Dignity and Freedom in Ukraine. On this day, Ukrainians commemorated the events of both Orange Revolution of 2004 and Revolution of Dignity of 2013-14. In 2013, protests started on the 21st of November. My colleague Tatiana Mikitenko knows more.
It has been 4 years since the course of modern Ukrainian history took a dramatic turn. Mass protests called Euromaidan broke out in November after the government had withdrawn from finalizing the association deal with the European Union. The Euromaidan revolution toppled autocratic leader Viktor Yanukovych. But no battle comes without cost. This victory over the corrupt Yanukovych's regime came at a high price in blood. The death of more than 100 of peaceful protesters, most of whom were shot dead in the streets of Kyiv in the final days of protests. Ukrainians call the victims of bloody attacks the Heavenly Hundred, in reference to self-defense volunteers who grouped into hundreds to fight off the regime's attempts to suppress the uprising for a better future of this country. To many Ukrainians, these deaths came as a shock. This sacrifice has made such a deep and lasting impact upon the nation, giving it a new hope and new pride. However, another deadly conflict sparked right after the victory of the Revolution of Dignity. Moscow responded to Yanukovych's downfall by seizing control of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula in March 2014 and fomenting separatism across much of the country, one of the causes of a war that has killed more than 10,000 people in eastern Ukraine since April 2014. When Russia violently attacked Ukraine, the best and the bravest Maidan activists went to the front line. Volunteer battalions have inscribed themselves in pages of the Ukrainian history with their blood shed for their homeland. President Petro Poroshenko addressed to the Ukrainian people on the occasion of the Day of Dignity and Freedom.
Сьогодні Україна відзначає День гідності.
Today, Ukraine marks the Day of Dignity and Freedom. It was 4 years ago when our youth, our students, became the first who came to the Maidan with a demand not to turn away from the European path. This patriotic impulse of the young generation evoked a strong response in the hearts of Ukrainians. Millions of Ukrainians flooded the streets and squares of the capital and many other cities. The Revolution of Dignity has become yet another proof of our people's pulsing desire for freedom and independence, said Petro Poroshenko. That winter, Ukrainians remembered what it was like to be bold and fearless, passionate and determined, independent and at the same time united with the whole nation, paving a new path for themselves and generations to follow. Within months, Euromaidan has evolved into something much bigger than just a site for protests. It turned into a prototype of a new country with many grassroots initiatives incorporating traditional and new social values.
You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
American journalist and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Anne Applebaum presented her new book, Red Famine, Stalin's War on Ukraine, in Kyiv on Monday. The book covers the 1930s genocide in Ukraine and how it has impacted the history and modern politics of the state. The artificially engineered famine, which became known as the Holodomor, a Ukrainian word meaning death by hunger, killed millions of Ukrainians. Stalin's Soviet regime used famine as a weapon to murder millions of innocent men, women and children in an attempt to destroy the Ukrainian nation. It was one of the most tragic episodes in the history of Ukraine, and Applebaum believes that the genocide continues to shape the thinking of Ukrainians and Russians to this day. American journalist and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Anne Applebaum comments.
There was really one thing that Ukrainians could do to memorialize the famine, to honor the victims, that would be to create a state where nothing like that could happen again. And that means a state in which nobody is able to use ideology to justify violence, where a state which seeks to unify people and not to divide them, and a state which seeks to enshrine, you know, the neutrality of state institutions.
Anne Applebaum. Yet in the end, the famine did fail, but still it is important to talk about the events of the 1932-1933 in order to leave a message for the next generations, especially given that for quite a long time the Holodomor tragedy was hushed, people were afraid to speak about it, and now finally it is openly discussed.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
The 24th International Animation Film Festival, Krog 2016, in the Native Harbor, kicked off at the Kyiv House of Cinema on the 23rd of November. This year, more than 1,000 applications for participation in the festival came from 57 countries of the world. The national competition program of the event represents a record number of films, 18. Traditionally, the festival program includes workshops and retrospective exhibition. It will also include jubilee events, the 90th anniversary of the Ukrainian animation, the 85th anniversary of the president of KROG and film director David Cherkasky, the 80th anniversary of a leading figure in the Ukrainian animation, Yevgen Sivokon. Sergei Trimbach, chairman of the organizing committee of the film festival, deputy chairman of Ukraine's National Union of Cinematographers, will tell more.
Фестиваль веде свій відлік від 1989 року. Багато років він проводився на дві країни.
The festival was launched in 1989. For many years, it was held in two countries, in Ukraine and Russia. Now the only harbor for it is the Kyiv House of Cinema. More than 1,000 films were submitted for the festival, 41 of them were selected for the international competition program and to the national one, 18. Among the creators are such well-known directors as Natalia Chernyshova, Lyudmila Tkachikova, Oleg Pedan, Stepan Koval and others. The festival is dedicated to the 90th anniversary of the Ukrainian animation. Respectively, there will be retrospective screenings, said Sergei Trimbach. The festival introduces the best examples of domestic and world animated films, both contemporary and classical, not only to professionals, but also spectators of all ages and social status. This year, KROC will traditionally present the whole spectrum of new trends in the world animation, demonstrating the work of recognized masters as well as debutants who inspired the animation art with their original ideas.
And with that, we end Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.